Message, M003, The Church, The Body of Christ, Part 1. Given by Cecil J. DuSeal, 2nd of November, 1970.
Praise God. This morning, the Lord is leading us to speak about the church, the body. Hallelujah. We will take about 3 days to get through this, if we can get through it quickly. But we will at least begin today with Hebrews chapter 12 as a complementary passage. Let's first read 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 30. Very often we persecute one another and we assist the devil in his work of being accuser of the brethren without knowing it, because we discern not the body of Jesus Christ. Now, in the church, there must be the spirit of discernment. Yes, thank you. The spirit of discernment to discern our brothers.
Yes.
Amen. And to discern the Christ within each other. Because if we do not discern the Christ within each other, then we will discern the devil in each other.
Yes.
Now, there is a little devil in many of us. And the devil in me will quickly pick up the devil in you.
Yes.
So that the spirit of the enemy discerns quickly the spirit of the enemy in somebody else. And you'll find that people of like spirits discern one another. Let's go back over that. If I have a spirit of anger, I will quickly find somebody with a spirit of anger to tease that person, and then the both of us fight. And when spirits manifest, they feed. Remember. Now, all beings that God creates feed. Feeding is the sign of life. As we learn in our biology, feeding, breathing, and moving, right? Three things are the sign of life. Oh, no, four. Growing. Feeding, breathing, moving, growing. And so, it seems to me that these same laws which persist in our natural realm, they are coming from a spiritual realm. So all beings that God made, they feed. Well, they don't all breathe, but they grow. Angels get bigger and bigger in knowledge and understanding and wisdom. Amen. And so they feed and they grow and they move. It's a sign of life. Now, because they do all these things, we find that the evil spirit, they will feed on people to sustain their lives. The good spirits, they feed on God to sustain their lives. And this can be supported by many scriptures. One scripture says, Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So the word of God is not just words, but it is life issuing forth from one being to another. Amen. So you feed from me because I feed from the Lord. And if a man isn't drawing from God, he has nothing to give. So you feed and then you go to give. And the more you give, the more you feed. Because it's another law of life. I burn energy, I have to take in energy. Amen? I burn energy, I use up energy, so therefore I have to take in energy. When we burn energy, energy only changes its form. It's not lost, it's not destroyed. Amen? It changes its form. So spiritual energy also, when I give off spiritual energy to you, amen, It creates a vacuum within me, and I draw more energy to give off. So the person who gives off most receives more. Mm-hmm. Amen. So I stop giving the body of Christ, I stop receiving. Amen. So I receive as I give. That's the reason I am here. Because here I find me people who can receive. Now I began to suffer. I began to suffer because I couldn't find people to receive. So God told me to come on to Miami, and here I found in the United States people who would receive because he was doing something in the United States. A last day move is going on here, and although it's not here alone, here is the very stronghold and the nucleus of God. Also, it is the stronghold of the devil. So this is a basic war area. Yeah. Amen. The spirits are fighting here. That's why you are in so much trouble. And the women are being oppressed. That's why the women are being delivered. You'll find more women are being delivered because the women are bearing the brunt of the attack, because they have the receptive spirit. It is often said that women are the weaker vessels. The word weaker is not an adequate word. It's not because you are weaker, but it's because you are made as receptacles to absorb, to take in. You pick up quickly. You will pick up a spirit much more quickly than a man, because that's the way you were made. And if you weren't made that way, then we wouldn't have that delicate instrument in the church. So you are an integral part of the church that is like a delicate instrument that picks up quickly. And because you pick up quickly, you could easily be destroyed by the enemy putting a wavelength that is to destroy you. Therefore, the man is behind you to sustain you, to give you strength, to push back some life into you while you are there. And God, it was that opened the war between the woman and the devil. Said the seed of the woman shall bruise the enemy, and the enemy shall bruise. And the woman has always been fighting the devil. Always eating the carnal woman out there to bring forth a son that is serving God. Yes, the carnal woman will sit down and pray to have a good boy. She don't want her boy to be like that devil out there. No. And that desire in her heart makes something happen, and she brings forth a boy that buckles the devil and get him down. Amen. And this is the war that has been going on. And so you see the devil begin to war against the woman with her seed, childbearing. For if the women didn't bear children, we would never have a last day army to stand up against the devil. But this is the promise of God, and God looked from the beginning of time, looked right down time, and saw these people who would come from the woman. And so you find that you are having trouble with childbearing. Even in this day, the enemy is breaking up some pills and all that kind of thing. They mean to destroy women entirely. That's what the devil means to do. He is going to destroy women entirely. And women have to be more careful, very much more careful than men. But I didn't really want to preach you that word on the women. I believe one day I should give you the whole doctrine of what woman means. Woman doesn't mean weakness. Amen. And it is under the very basic law that the woman is subject to her husband, and he shall rule over you. That's the law of sin and death. When a woman arises out of that law and begins to walk with God, there is she become a helpmeet, an equality with the man. She become a part of man. God doesn't see women and men. He sees one being as his creature. He says in the heavenlies there won't be either women or men. Pardon me. Women and men is only an arrangement. An arrangement for this physical procreation of the species. You see? So the women and men business is only a thing for this world. But when we begin to lift above, amen, when my wife brings forth a prophecy, I don't say the woman says so. I don't see it. I don't see any woman. I see God. Yeah. speaking when I heard a prophecy from down there a while ago, and the patience with which the prophecy was brought up. I feel the Lord. I don't say woman, I say God. Amen. So we have got to rearrange our thinking. Amen. If a woman is usurping authority and trying to take over and trying to rule and try, then it's woman that time. And if a man is trying to rule and take over, it's woman too. Amen. Yes. It's just anything that tries to usurp and try to take over, it's woman. Because God is man, Christ is the man, and the church is the woman. So all of us together form the woman. But when we are in the spirit, we are not in self anymore, we are in Christ.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know how else to explain it to you, but that's just going off on a little tangent there. But let me come back to the basic thing we were talking about. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, yeah, and verse 30. Thank you. Always my trouble. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 30. If, for instance, a sister goes around boasting that she is the male and she is the man and she is to rule the house and all that, that means something's gone wrong. Amen. Because when you rule in the spirit, you don't rule by physical force. Amen. You submit in the spirit, you are ruling. Amen. Praise God. The one who submits in the spirit is the one that is ruling. Yes. Amen. Somebody, you must do something. What they say? All right. Amen. And you contact him, and he comes back to you and said, "You know, I'm kind of sorry. All right, you just do your way." Amen. You have the power, and our power is not carnal or physical. It is, you see, the people who are getting up and fighting, they don't believe in spiritual power. Or spiritual power, God said, the Son of God does not strive. If you believe in real spiritual power, you go and you just operate your power. You don't fight anybody. You just use your power on him. Blessed be to God, and you turn him over without touching him. Amen. So the people who fight, they don't believe in spiritual power. They have a doubt somewhere. They feel that they've got to do something to help somewhere. Amen. When Uzzah pushed forth his hand and touched the ark, he thought God wasn't good enough. He was the man there to stop the ark and turn over, and God Almighty was right there. You see, and that's why he was smitten, because the man was putting himself before God. Now we are in a realm and in an area of church business wherein man is completely obliterated. If you have a man in this group or in the whole United States or anywhere that you are putting up in the place of God, you are only putting him in judgment. There's no man that is to be put in the place of God. You got Christ within you. And when a man like me or any other man comes and gives a word, the Christ in you must say yes before you accept it. Don't accept it because it's the devil or the other man or the other one. No, no, no. You will hurt Christ. Christ wants you to be 100% believing in Christ. And when you find your heart accepts the thing, you are accepting it not because I say so, but because something in you, amen, says so. You know why? If you have a fault in you, a man will come with the same fault in him and say a word that you take on to it because you were not perfect. Amen. But if I come and I say a word to you and the Christ in you doesn't make you take that word fully, amen, you know something right there, something. You can't put your finger on it, but you have got to analyze it with the Christ in you. Say, now, Jesus, you speak to me. Show me the Lord. And until God shows you, you don't go about either preaching it or doing anything about it. until you are completely delivered with that word. Amen. Praise God. So 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 30 says, let's take 29 and 30. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, and not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. God is saying that the cause of the weakness and the sickness in our midst is because we are not discerning properly the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, we have got to discern the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to give you an idea of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, I will just mention the tabernacle. That the body of Christ is from the outer court right into the Holy of Holies. It's not only the Holy of Holies, as some of us have been believing, but the little things out there, let's think of them as our little kids. You know, these little kids can be so cute. And from there, just before they learn to talk, the things they would do, and even the scratches, they would scratch you. And you don't expect too much from them. You expect those kids to mess and to wet you up and to do you all kind of things. Mm-hmm. And you just clean those things and you just keep changing their clothes when they mess. And this is the condition with the people of God. Mm-hmm. Those kids out there in the outer court, they have got to be saved as much as those in the Holy of Holies. And we who have progressed have become elders to them. We don't slam them and box them and kick them and say, you're no good, you're just good for debt. But we are going to be their defense. We will have to move from place to place in the spirit and deliver them. Mm-hmm. Amen. From the hand of the enemy. And this is what God is training us for. We have got to take care of the church, the people of God. Now, therefore, because we do not discern the body of Christ, many are weak and sickly among you, and many die. You know, something struck me very strongly. I've always been preaching, for years I've been preaching, that you can die if you want and you can live if you want. That God doesn't condemn anybody to death. And the people who die, they die because they did something at some time or the other that they got themselves just into that way of death. Two roads here, you walk that way, the other one walk this way. He falls over a ditch and he dies, and the other one go on and never die. And you know what struck me very strongly the other day? Mr. Nixon promised the people when he was getting elected that he was going to stop the war in Vietnam. And at that time, 300 boys were killed every week and more. But the average was about 300 per week, and so many more wounded. And he began to withdraw them and de-escalate the war. And now, last week, 40 were killed. Now, what happened to the 260 that would have been killed?
They were alive. They were saved.
And that is what human is. You have the power either to kill or to make alive. And we hardly know it. Men don't die because their destiny is that they should die at such and such a hour and so on. No. They die because they are on the road of death and they never came off it and they just run right into death. And death will take anybody who surrenders himself to death. You have the power of life and death. Amen. You got careless and you go out there and you run smack into another thing and the angel didn't stop you. Don't say, well, God just decided that I should run into this and smash up and go off to the hospital. No. You have the power. If you were watching in the spirit, God would have stopped you. You know what happened to me one day? I was very tired. Going from one place to hit a meeting, the other place, and very tired and going along. I saw a red light, and the flashing red light, I stopped. But this intersection was very wide, and the worst thing, I've never seen an intersection like that. It goes like this over here, and then you just can't see what's on the other side properly. And so I look both sides, because although it's a one way, I'm looking two sides all the same. I don't know what will happen. I look both sides, and normally, the normal thing for me to do, since the way was clear, both up and down, was to run right across. But I ran right up to the mid-intersection, and for no reason at all, I stopped. Brother, I didn't see one thing. I looked there, and nothing was there. And I could have gone on. I was just about to put my foot on the gas when I just saw a flash, a green flash, and the grass was green in the center of the road, high grass and green. And I saw something green like it flash on the grass, and I stopped to make a second look. And man, this man was doing over 70 miles an hour, coming down against the green grass in the left-hand lane. It was a trap of the devil. It was definitely a trap of the devil. But you know what God did before that? God alerted me by making a man almost run into me ahead. And I said, something is up. Because you know, I know how God handles things. I said, something is up. And I began to get careful. And Mavis even said to me, she said, something's peculiar. Something's peculiar. Something's wrong. You know, and we were almost frightened. We went carefully and looked there, and boy, that man just run across my bow. It would be a wreck. But you see, because we were watching in the spirit, because we know that if you go along and hit your toe on something, then something as bigger is out there. Because we know the spirit does these kinds of things, we begin to watch. And when you're tired, you watch out. When you're tired, you watch out. For the devil knows you're tired, and he's coming at you. Amen. And so, for this cause, not discerning the body of Christ, many are weak and sickly among you, and many die. Some of us don't recognize our deliverance. Amen. Yeah. I could bring deliverance according to the word that God gave me, according to the life that God gave me, to many hundreds of people who don't want to hear me at all. They just don't want to hear. Amen. One man goes ahead of me and he told the people, he said, this man is no good, he's a this and he's a that and he's the other, and he's joined up with some people in Miami and they believe they're already perfect and all that sort of thing. He told them, those people don't want to hear me. They just stop me before I come. Amen. Because the devil went ahead and tried to do these things. So you must have something within you to say, well, all right, if he's all this, let us hear him for ourselves. Amen. That's what I would do if somebody comes and tells me something about you. Huh? They would be just sending me to you. Because if I didn't have the intention of going to you, and I hear that about my sister in the Lord, I've got to go to you and find out what's wrong, why they say this about you. And this is the kind of spirit that you've got to have. Be watchful in the spirit. You hear something about a sister in the Lord, the first thing you know, that no sister in the Lord is going to do that. Yes. If the sister is taken by a demon, then she's to be delivered. Amen. And that's it, simple and plain. For no son of God has the desire in him to commit sin. You cannot have it, because the seed of God is in you. Amen. And the seed of God is against sin. You cannot have a desire to commit sin. You have a desire to do righteousness many times, and you fall into sin. Sin is foreign to you. It pains you, it hurts you, you're against it. Amen. And you can't say it. You are not happy. You've got to find a way out. And this is what God is talking about. Discern the body of Christ. When we begin to know one another, we begin to know Christ. When we begin to discern one another, we begin to discern Christ. I come along here and I pick up something from you, that you are a child of God, but you want to pick a quarrel with me. I take the lower seat to save you. I humble myself just to save you, because I don't want to quarrel with you. I don't want to hurt a child of God. And something is wrong with you. Then now, when you begin to like me, now I can maybe even touch you without making you know, you know, and just said, sit and get out.
Yes.
And then you somehow you just like to talk to me. That's something like that, you know. They said, I don't know why, but I just like to talk to you. And the person comes and talks to you again, and you drive the devil out of him again. And he feels good when he leaves you. He doesn't know why. Amen. This is what God has you here for. Amen. It's a secret job, the coming of Jesus Christ, a secret coming. Nobody will know that Jesus Christ comes beside those who receive him. He said, to them that look for him shall he return the second time without sin unto righteousness and salvation. So you are going to receive Christ and the world won't know. And you just walk around and nice with them and knock the devil out of them and give them and give them a deliverance and go on delivering the rest of creation. Amen. Well, let's turn back now to that Hebrews 12. Praise God. Because I'm determined, you know, that we keep this service in line and time. Keep it on time so that those who just have a limited amount of time can come. And they will know definitely the time it will be over. Amen. Oh, man. Praise God. We're going to read from verse 18 on to verse 24. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest. Those people, they were in Mount Sinai, and it was a natural mountain that was standing before them. But God came down on the mountain, and you know God is energy, you know that. And you know that spirits feed on energy, I come back to that. But as we go on, I will explain that more perfectly. But I want to stick to this subject. So these people came to a mountain, and God came down on the mountain, and the mountain began to smoke. Well, that is quite natural. If energy comes down upon rocks, then the rocks begin to smoke and consume because they couldn't stand the energy. And the radiation was so powerful that when the man Moses stood before God, his skin caught the radiation and began to flash back light. And the people couldn't stand the radiation of his presence. It's so simple. So simple. Amen. He absorbed the radiation from God. And he began to give it off. And then he gave it off until it was expended. And he was normal again. But for the time being, he was flashing off radiation, which the people could not stand. And they were hurt. They had to run from him and beg him to cover himself with a heavy curtain while he was speaking to them. So we find that Paul is saying, we, this people, this generation, have not come to a mountain that is blazing and burning. We haven't come to face God in all its power and just bear God, but we have come to something else. Where is it now? The sound of a trumpet and a voice of words. We are come to the sound of a trumpet and to the voice of words, but not those words, not those, that trumpet, not the natural trumpet, but we are now listening to a word of God, a trumpet of God giving forth a word. Amen. That's what we have come to. The trumpet of God, that's the message of God being given forth in the church. Amen. And they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it should be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. It is so simple. If a beast touched that mountain, the radiation would be so strong in that animal that God said, kill it, don't use it, don't let it go back and live. It's so simple that knowledge has increased that we understand why. But they didn't understand why. That animal would have got so much radiation in him that he would be of no use. He would hurt the people if they ate that animal. And if he breathed that animal to other animals, it would hurt them. So God said, thrust it through, kill it. Amen. But Moses, amen, who went up in the mountain and got all this radiation in him, God didn't say, thrust him through and kill him. Amen. Because Moses was very near to be offered to be killed himself, to die. Amen. So, let's go on a little more. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Moses himself couldn't stand up. He was just quaking all over. His nervous system was gone because of the power of the radiation that was in the mountain. But ye are come unto Mount Sinai. And I want you to notice that every time God comes down, he comes down in a cloud. You know why? Any of you ever thought of it? Why God always appear in a cloud? God has to shade himself from all his beings, for the light, the radiance would be too powerful, too strong. It would kill us. And that's why he said, no man can look at God and live. How simple that is. And we never thought of it. He has to shade himself, always in a cloud. Always cover himself in a thick, thick cloud. And the thick cloud is to deliver you from seeing him. For the power and the radiation would kill them. The atom bomb that was blasted in Nagasaki and Hiroshima, it threw off a light 7 times brighter than the sun. And any man who saw it was burned. Some people's eyes were burnt out. They told me 6 miles away, in a mission station they had there, they had pictures on the wall, and some were black and white. Everything that was black was burnt out. Burnt completely out, the picture black and white up there, and the black burnt out and left the white. People, one nurse was in white clothes right there and she wasn't touched. And somebody else beside her was in colored clothes and was burnt. You see? So, all this just a simple thing. You know, God made his Moses dressed in certain garments and all that. We hardly think of it, but it's for a special reason. God is always coming down in tabernacle in a cloud. He's got to shield himself. See, the Bible said, God that dwelleth in the thick darkness. God hide himself in thick darkness to come and talk to you. If he doesn't do it, he kills you. It's the radiance of his power will destroy you. It's just as simple as all that. The men who are handling the radiation, they've got to have on thick shield clothes, something to shield them from the radiation. And that is plaything. That's just toy in comparison to the radiation that God handles and is himself power. Amen. Now, praise God. So we go on a little further. They could not endure it, he said. And verse 21, and so terrible was it, yet Moses quaked. Verse 22, but ye are come unto Mount Zion. Something is wrong with my board this morning. Or is it with my chalk? Oh, chalk. Zion. We're going to speak about Zion this morning. And then two. We have come to Mount Zion and to what else? The city of the living God. That's the Holy Jerusalem. Thank you. I'm always talking about the humor of God, you know. So I think God built humor in the human race for a good reason. He is very humorous himself. If you read the scriptures, you'll see. The first one was Zion. Second one was city of living God, Jerusalem. Good. Three. Company of angels. Yes. Of church. Whose names are written in heaven. Isn't that what it says? That means everybody whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. Verse number 5. God, the judge. Number 6. Isn't this amazing? Spirits of just men made Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Yep. 8. The blood that speaks. Huh? That speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. So these 8 groups form the fullness of what we really call a church. And all of these are part of us, and we are part of them. Amen. Now, the first one means the Zion Company. That's the army of God that we see in Ezekiel 37, dry bones. That's the army of Joel. That's the 144,000 company. That's the two witness company. That's the man child. That's the seventh church. The Zion Company. We have come to Mount Zion. Amen. Now, the city of the living God, Jerusalem, that's part of Zion. Zion is part of Jerusalem, I should say. But this is the elite. And this is the rest of the city of God, the Jerusalem you learn about. You know, Jerusalem is not carnal and physical. Everybody here knows that. We don't need to go to the scripture to prove it. You know it. You have the proof of it already. Please? Praise the Lord. Well, one of the greatest proof of that is that Abraham, and Paul, speaking of Abraham, he said Abraham, after receiving the promises, walking through the promised land, he said he sought a city whose builder and maker is God, and he sought another country that was heavenly. And he mentioned the heavenly Jerusalem. So Abraham actually said that. Hebrews 11, that's the best description. Another very good description of it is in Revelation chapter 20 and 1, where verse 9 and 10, where they said that the Jerusalem was the bride of Christ. And you know the bride of Christ is the church. So you have no more problem with that. 21, 9 and 10. I want to just check it that I'm right. Yes, come hither and I'll show thee the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away into the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of God from heaven. And in the first, second verse, you see that it was the church that was descending from heaven. So then, if the bride of Christ is going to be down here, and the descending, you understand the word? So it means that then the descending is not a heaven in the starry sky. For we have three heavens. The starry sky, the heaven of heavens where God is, and your heart or your soul is a heaven where God is building to be in. This is proven by Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. It says, Michael and his angels fought, and there was war in heaven. There could be no war in the great heaven, but there is war in our heaven, in our realm. Amen. And in the realm of the atmosphere, there is war. So this is the heaven where there is war. Now, the city Jerusalem, therefore, the innumerable company of angels. You remember that Paul talking about the cloud of witnesses, and that the angels desire, Peter spoke of the angels who desire to see, amen, into this thing. So, and again, we are told in the Galatians, I think, that the angels are the ministering spirit. Let's not use the word ministering, because you have got the wrong idea of the word minister. The word minister to us means a man with a collar and one who preaches the word of God, and one who is the head of the church or the leader of a group or something. You call him a minister. But the word minister comes from the word minister, which means servant, slave. See, well, another word would be servus, meaning slave, but minister means minister, servant. So actually, the word servant is more applicable. These are ministers to the heirs of salvation. They are servants. These spirits are your servants. We saw them serving Elijah. They stood on the, yes. Well, is there any difference in the Hebrew 1 and verse 4? Being made so much better than the angels, as he had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which angel he said, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and their years shall not, oh sorry, and he shall be to me a son. Are then at all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation, sent forth to be servants for, well, servant of or servants for would be the same thing, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the essential idea is right, you know, that these are our servants. They have been serving the church for thousands of years. They stood beside Elijah on the hill. Elijah were there ready to go at Elijah's command. He said, let fire come down and burned the on the fire, and they ran down the hill, burned them. And so God has always shown us that we are protected by angels. They fight our battles, they lead us, they help us, and they can do nothing except we are in God, walking by faith, and then they will work for us. But they are our servants. The General Assembly of the Church of the Firstborn is talking about all those from the outer court right into the Holy of Holies. Everybody, all who are saved. Every saved man everywhere is your brother. Never forget that. You are his bigger brother if you are higher, and you have to help him, just like you see a little child on the street trying to cross the street and is going to get himself hit by traffic, and you said no, you go and help him across the street. And that is, if the higher you are in the spirit, the more servant you are to those who are low in the spirit. Never figure yourself above them. There are some people who are so basic in their understanding that they'll never rise to the 144,000 company. But then God never intended them to rise to them. Amen. God is just anointing himself an army. People who have the acumen to receive this message and to come forth in the spirit. Amen. And even after Zion is birthed out of Jerusalem, even after Zion is birthed out of Jerusalem, Jerusalem will be protected by the Lord, and Zion will be fighting as our protector. The two witness company or the man-child group caught up into the rulership of God. Amen. And begin to reign and rule on the earth. Amen. So now, if anybody asks you if Christ is reigning and ruling now, tell him yes. Christ is reigning and ruling now in certain sections of earth. But earth is three sections. Earth is divided into three sections. You got that already, didn't you? Earth, the heaven and the earth, that dirt you see outside there, that's called earth in the Bible. Then you have earth. Another time the word of God mentioned earth, it means the wicked people, the worldliness. And another time he mentions earth, he means you. So the earth shall praise him. Amen. Yes. So I want you to know that therefore this General Assembly of the Church of God, of the Firstborn, is all your brethren who are saved. Every soul who is saved is in this General Assembly of the Church of the Firstborn. Then you have God the Judge. You didn't know that God was part of your church. Eh? He's a member. Amen. God the Judge, the great God, he is the one who judges men's deeds, men's actions. Amen. And so we come to the spirits of just men made perfect. And I think that should be translated, the spirit made perfect of just men. In other words, you are perfect in the spirit. And these spirits of men who have died have been made perfect. How have they been made perfect? They have been made perfect by receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost when they die. In other words, what we call the baptism of the Holy Ghost is when the Spirit of God enters into your spirit and takes charge of your spirit. Don't you see what I'm saying? When the Spirit of God takes charge of your spirit, when your spirit submits to him and he takes charge of your spirit. But if you have an interference in the body realm, that is preventing the Spirit of God from taking charge of your spirit, then God removes the body out of the way and the Spirit takes charge of your spirit. That's if you are saved. Amen. So what happens is the Spirit sometimes will agree for the death of the body so that the soul might live. If the Spirit sees your body drawing your soul down into hell, and you have a covenant in the Spirit, you knelt down before God and you gave Him your all, you willingly give Him, and you would not take it back. If you got a chance away from that old body that is pulling you down, you would say, I want to live. I want Jesus. I love Jesus. I want Jesus. But you're living out there and you can't live in righteousness. What God does, God takes, allows you to get before the judge. And your spirit gets before the judge, and your spirit agrees to kill your body to save your soul. Just like you would do as a loving mother. Suppose tonight you were caught up into heaven and you saw that tonight your child is going to lose his soul, or he's going to step over a barrier with God where there is no turning back, and you can save him by taking away that body that his soul might live. Which mother would say, God, let him live till tomorrow? No mother. Every mother would say, Jesus, take him. I want to know that he's with you and I'll be satisfied. Take him and save. You wouldn't consider the body at all. You see, because our problem is that we are not seeing things from the true perspective. We are seeing things from a carnal realm, and to us death is a great hurt or a great pain or some big thing happened. No, no. God sees death as a soldier coming home from the wars, or a sailor coming home from the sea. Amen. He has left many pals out there who are longing for him to stay with them, but he's coming to a pal. Amen. That is everybody's pal. Praise be to God. So you can well see what we are talking about here. The Spirit of judgment made perfect. Many men who can't live righteous are going to hurt God's business. God take them home, and they are spirit and body, soul is incorporated together. And the spirit and soul, when the life message comes to the church, will get the life message and will resurrect that body and lift up that body again when the body can obey. But Satan was having too much of a pull on the body, and God rested the body. If you notice that sometimes you get sick, he said, for this cause men are weak and sickly among you, and some sleep. It's not a threat. It's a law that he had just explained. For this cause some are weak and sickly among you, and some even die, because you discern not the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you realize that you are part of the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, you won't just fool around with that body. Because it is God's body. It is part of God. And you've got to know how to operate and how to treat it so that it might survive. But if you fool around, then it sleeps and gets sick sometimes. Just to get you. God sometimes has to allow you to fall into sickness in order to talk to you. Oh, some of us are so possessed by the things of the world, running up and down. God is saying no to these people, that you must ease down your pressure. Ease down on your life the things that are pressurizing you. Ease down so that you might have a chance to give way to God. Don't care about the things that you don't have. God will supply your needs, but ease down, for God's sake, ease down. For you are having just a few years in which to come into this glory of God. you have got to ease down. And put yourself in a position that God can smack you with that revelation of life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Yekoma shandala. Amen. The spirits of just men made perfect. God speaking to Moses, I give you as he gives me. God speaking to Moses said, he said, I'll send an angel before you, a servant before you, to lead the way through the wilderness. He said, Moses, but be careful of him. He will turn upon you and slay your people. You'd like to see that scripture? He said, I'll send an angel before you, but be careful of him. You know what God was actually saying to Moses? He said, look, I'm sending you a mighty angel charged with power to destroy your enemies. But if you become an enemy to God, he'll also destroy you too. For he's against the enemies of God. He said, so be careful of him, lest he destroy you also. I mean, we should really begin to understand God now, shouldn't we? That was a prophecy. The prophecy said something about growing up, getting mature. We should begin to understand God. God is all love, you know. He doesn't go about destroying people. But we get hurt sometimes because it's like children, you've got this heap of power here. You've got all these wires, this great powerful thing generating power to do a good job, to light up the whole city, to give power to the city. And you get a child fooling around, it's dead. Yes. You come fool around a thing like that, it's dead. You've got to know what to touch from what not to touch. So you call your children together and you say, children, it's danger over there. He said, I've put up danger signs all of them. He said, for God's sake, don't you go touching anything there. You'll die. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yet this boy goes and says, boy, I want to see what will happen. And he takes a piece of wire. Now, what could you do? What could you do about it? The most you could do is take him as an example to the rest of children. Amen. When Uzzah put forth his hand and touched that ark, bam! He was struck like 5,000 volts of electricity hit him. He died instantaneously. God didn't kill him. He should have known better. But he became a warning to every man, every time, everywhere. Even now, those who want to put their ark, their hand to the ark of God to try to steady God's church. That is the warning that has been given out through all the ages. One man died and every man was a warning. Blessed be the God, he went home to glory. God said, welcome, Uzzah boy. Amen. We've been long waiting for you. Yeah, welcome him home. Take him off the scene. Amen. There was something in him that was wrong. He should have known better than to put his hand on that. He had never seen anybody done it. But he might think to himself, oh, God will sympathize with me. Let me just straighten this thing. Bam! Died. The spirits of just men made perfect. Your spirits are made perfect already by the Holy Ghost. But the just men who didn't have the Holy Ghost, who died, their spirits had to be made perfect. So this is what the Bible is talking about. The spirits of just men made perfect. All those who are dead and gone, they are still part of the church. Amen. Now, Jesus the mediator of the new covenant. Now, many have been asking the question, are we going to see Jesus again? One young man came to me yesterday. He said, "Now tell me." I had it set up. He said, "Are we going to see Jesus?" I said, "Yes." Yeah. I said, "I don't mean my brother, you know. I don't mean the Jesus in my brother. Are we going to see the man named Jesus, Mary's son? We're going to see him." I said, "Yes, we're going to see him. Not in the spirit. Are we going to see him naturally with our..." "Well, be it known unto you, there's a man named Jesus." There's a man. Not words, you know. He is still alive. Yeah. You believe there is a man named Elijah? Yeah. A man named Elijah still alive, walking up and down?
Yeah.
That he could say, "Feel me, I'm flesh and bone, you know, feel me." Yeah. Well, so it is. There is a man named Jesus too. And there's a man named Enoch. And there's a man named Moses. And those guys are still walking up and down. Moreover, there's a man named Daniel. And Ezekiel and all those, Jeremiah and all those fellas, they are walking up and down with their bodies. Oh yes, the Bible says. Let's turn to the 27th chapter of Matthew. And verses 52 going down 53. "And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many." Do you think after they made that demonstration they threw back the bodies, they threw away the bodies again? Spirits not in graves. Spirits are not in graves. Souls are not in graves. Men, please. Well, they are in the heavenly with Ezekiel and Elijah and Jesus and the rest of them. They are in the third heaven.
You're referring to the bodies that rose at that time, not those that have died.
No, those after the Jesus who died from this side. That we are the different group. Those people there, they are in the class of the prophets. The prophets before the Jesus. Then Jesus went down into hell and took them out. And the moment they arose, they went for their bodies. Yeah. Said, if this same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that rose Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. The same principle. Jesus went down there and he preached to these people, and they accepted him and received the seed of the Christ man in them. And they got up with a shout, and some of them ran to their friends and told them, "Yes, this is healed, man. God, feel me." Yeah. The Bible said their body, yes.
That's the real power of the resurrection of the
false. Yes, that's the amen. Philippians 3, Paul said, "Lord, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, to be made conformable unto his death." Paul wanted to have come out like those people. He knew that that was the destiny of man. And Paul was hoping that he, Paul, would change into a spirit being. And when he found out that he wasn't going to change, he wanted to die. So I said, it's better for me to go, but for your sake, I'll stay a little longer. But Paul had no desire to live here, for he had already gone and tasted of the third heaven. And every man who tastes it, he loses the desire to live here. Amen. So this is what really happened to those fellows. You see, they got their bodies back. And that's why Arminius began to preach the false doctrine that the resurrection is already past. See, and Paul said, Father God, take the body quickly, kill it, that the soul might live. And somebody thought he's a barbarian. Oh my, one man told me that man Paul was entirely out of order. He said, oh, he said God never did say anybody to kill. But when you are in the spirit, you see differently from carnal people. You, Paul, this man Arminius was one of the sons of Paul, spiritual sons. And he sees spiritual sons tearing the church to pieces, overthrowing the faith of many, killing people. Well, if I see my son doing that, I know the end of him. He's going to lose his soul. God is going to bring down judgment on him. I don't want that. Take him quickly, God, before he does any more harm. That's what Paul was saying. And so he removed the body. God smote him, removed the body, and took him home to glory and saved the soul and taught him that he was wrong. When he got over there, they teach him. Amen. You're going to school in the heavens. And so that's what's going on down there now. Big school is there. And they are teaching all those spirits what they never knew. The saints of old that they never knew. And the Christ is growing up in them like the Christ is growing up in you. And so we are all growing up together, and one day we'll come forth in Christ. So he's so simple. So simple. Amen. So we go back here now. We're on the General Assembly of the Church of First Son, God the Judge, Spirits of Just Men made perfect, Jesus the Mediator, the man Jesus. We are going to see him because he's a man. Now if he was not a man, we would not see him. So when the people are talking about you won't see Jesus again, his body is dissolved and all that, those poor folks don't know what they're saying. And I mean, I can say that about anybody who is saying that, he does not know what he's saying. I went to God, I asked God, I said, God, are we going to see the man Jesus again? And God, he paid me the compliment of asking me a question. And he asked me, are you going to see those people who died down in South America? Are you going to see Wendy and Johnny? Are you going to see Luan and George? I said, yes, I'm sure I'm going to see them. He said, well, you're going to see all men come together, including Jesus. The man, Christ Jesus, is going to be Christ Jesus, and this one will be Christ, so-and-so, Christ, so-and-so, Christ, so-and-so, Christ, so-and-so. So, there will be many saviors on the hills of Zion. And for this cause, God is bringing a company out first. A first fruit company. Praise be to God. I didn't even start the message. Oh, honestly, I was just explaining all these before I started. Amen. Well, it took me 3 days, you know, hard work too. We had to cut it down to really get through this. Because this company alone, if we take this tonight, it wouldn't finish tonight till tomorrow morning. So we could take this tonight, God willing. Otherwise, God will just work his way. Because, you know, I don't prepare messages. I come here and I sat down yesterday, but thought I never even thought of what I should say. And he just brought this before me. And when I was thinking of turning my Bible, he said, turn to 1 Corinthians 11. And so I got this. So here we are. We are here. Jesus, the mediator, and Jesus, our big brother, is coming, amen, and he's coming with all the saints. But you see, we have to finish the job before he comes. Amen. We have to finish the job. He's not going to bring any spirits down here to help us do this work. Amen. We have God to get this devil on the foot. We have got to reject this devil, because the spirits of just men made perfect can't reject the devil anymore. You see, he can't touch them. We have got to cast the devil out of the tabernacle. We have got to overcome him by the same Christ spirit that Jesus has. Amen. And when we have overcome him, then all our friends will come and say, boy, you did it. Praise God. And Jesus himself will come. So all the Christs will meet together. One spirit. What a glory that would be. Amen. You can imagine you and I thinking the same thing. Amen. We come along here and we have the same thought. We don't even need to talk English or talk any language because we have the same thought. And we are thinking together and we just turn together and lift up the cup. We take it and put it there. We all know what we're doing because we have the one mind. Glory to God. We have one mind. So we know, we all know what to do. Amen. I'm told to go over in a city over there. And I'm told to go take charge of that city. And I know exactly how I'm going to do it. Amen. All the angels that I ever want are with me. All the army that I ever want. Jesus said I could call 10,000 angels. Yeah. He said, if I want, I could call 10,000 angels. And even one angel was powerful enough to cast Satan and all his hosts out of heaven. One angel could take his finger and do like this and point on this world and boom, it would be gone in an atomic explosion. One angel has all that power. We can't imagine. It's impossible to imagine the power of God. Amen. And so, we will be... We are angels now, of course, you know that, as messengers of God. But we will have got all this magnificent power of God in us. And God will send one of you over there to take charge of a city. And as you walk into the city, you just let off the spirit over the city. And the whole city come under your spirit. You overshadow the city. Amen. And all the people are taken. Amen. And they come to you. The Bible said they will all come to Zion. Amen. It's not a little place over there that millions and millions of people will be scotching up on a little hill in Jerusalem named Zion. Little hill could drop in this county several times. Ah, we're not so carnal. We're not going to think those things again. We used to think them, oh God, forgive us. I think it was foolishness. Yeah. That Zion was a little place where a lot of people were going to scotch upon. But we are now seeing Zion. One man coming to the city and he's Zion. And he overshadows the whole city and people begin to repent. And people begin to come to God. And people begin to come to him. Amen. And they see their Christ. They see Jesus come blazing out through you. They don't see your face. They don't see you. They see Jesus. They see the Christ man. And for the first time they will see the Christ. And they will worship Christ. And they will know their Christ. And the Israelites will see their Christ too. Yes, I'm not talking about the Israel of God. No, I mean the people who call themselves Jews. They're going to see their Christ too. Amen. And they're going to repent. And the whole world will be under the power of the Christ that is in you. This is what we're talking about. So we begin to work on it. And we begin to practice the power we have now. So Jesus is a man. Then I was shocked when I found out that the blood was different from Jesus. That's why he let it out of his veins and still went on living. The blood, God said, the life of the flesh is in the blood. And the life of man was in man's blood. And the life of God Almighty himself was incorporated in the carnal physical blood of a man named Jesus. So the life of God, the quickening force of God, the quickening power of God was let go on earth That's why Jesus made the blood drain out of him. Ah, glory to God. He just let that blood run right out of his veins. It had to happen. He wanted them to hang him up on a tree like you hang up an animal. And all the beating and everything they did to him was to get the blood running down into his tongue. And when they hung him up and got the blood running, God sent a centurion to come and plunge the sword in his side. And the sword just released all the blood, and the blood went out. The Holy Ghost picked it up. Amen. The glory of God. He says that the Holy Ghost has come with healing in his wings. That's the blood of Jesus Christ in his wings to set mankind free. Oh yes, Jesus. So the blood is a living force. That is why when you are saved, just accept Jesus as your Savior, you'll get the touch of the blood and you think it is a spirit. But there's a tool that the Holy Ghost used to make you acceptable for God. Any at all, God couldn't touch you. He would kill you. God can't touch a sinner. But the Jesus blood had the quality of a man in it and the life of God. Amen. And it quickened your life. So it's blood to blood, life to life. Amen.
This is the end of message 003. The Church, the Body of Christ, Part 1.